Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, Alistair.
Yes, Andy?
Do you want a smoother shaving experience?
Well, at the moment, I'm having a lot of very rugged shaving experiences.
That's right. When you shave these days, you hike out into the middle of the Appalachian mountains.
And I bang a rock against another rock until it reaches a point.
Yes.
Right? Until that rock. And then I use that rock to
threaten
to kill
someone
an animal.
In a convenience store until they give you a shaver from behind the counter.
That's right. Why do you ask?
Well, because there's an easier way, Alistair. If you just go to harrys.com/thinktank, you can get a shaver for 50% of the price of a leading brand mailed to your house. I've just got rid of my beard. I'm going to go clean shaven, right? Yeah. And when I shaved my face the other day, had to ask if I could borrow my wife's razor.
And her car to go out to the shop.
Yes, for an unrelated errand. But enough about my home situation. You go to harrys.com/thinktank. You can get yourself really affordable 5-blade razors. Five. Yeah. I won't shave with anything less than 4 blades these days. But 5 blades, forget about it.
Yeah. And Andy, it'll be nice for you to finally get some of your own possessions.
That's right.
Won't have to keep borrowing things from your wife, you mooch.
Hey, Andy. Whoosh. Whoosh. It's a whip noise. It's a whip noise.
Mason brought a herd of buffalo in with him today.
That's right.
Easy girls. They're all girls.
Yep. Whoa now.
He doesn't breed them. He just
whips them and he refers to them as girls.
Yeah.
I'm eccentric now.
Ah, success.
Mouth noises. Make your mouth noises.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and plug 5 to 10 different products in an episode and come up with 5 sketch ideas.
I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
And I'm Andy.
And our co-anchor today is Mr.
Nick Mason. That's me. Hi, guys.
Nick
How
Mason
are you? It's good to be here.
From Planet Broadcasting's Weekly Planet.
That's me.
Yeah.
It's a me.
I got to tell you, you know, you are my favorite podcast on the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Oh, stop it.
No, you
stop
really are.
Stop saying how good I am.
I cannot stop plugging it at the end of our show.
He really can't. Sometimes I try and interrupt, just get in ahead of him so that he doesn't do it. And nothing personal against you.
No, that's
I
fine.
Just think he has a problem and I'm trying to help him get away
it's
from
weird,
it.
It's weird, isn't it? Like some people just attach on you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they imprint.
Yeah.
Oh, I was there at
you're
the time
like,
of birth. Now I know why it is.
That's what it was.
That's
you,
right.
were, you were at
that's
the time of birth, but you were dressed as a goose.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't want to confuse him, so you came in dressed as a goose.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And since then, I have loved your podcast, Mom.
Goose Mom.
So thank you very much for coming on your show. It's a real on our show, and it's a real honor. And also, thank you for having us on your show.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Synergy. That's what I'm all
that's
about.
That's what I like. Mm. That's what I, is there
friendship born of synergy.
Man, I like friendship born of synergy and other business terms.
Me too.
I just couldn't think of any in time before I got to the sentence where I said business terms.
How do you feel about collaboration?
You know what? I love collaboration, but I also like...
Yes.
Did you know
how do you feel about green sky thinking?
There we go. Yeah. I mean, you can edit in... We could actually pause and you could edit one in going forward.
So it'll be like, I'll get to the, instead of saying business terms, I'll go, blue sky projects.
Exactly. Like you could have some ready on a soundboard.
Oh, that's good. <It'd> be,
just a soundboard of excruciating corporate terms there.
I like it. It's a soundboard that didn't need to be made. Mm. Yeah.
That's a solutioneering.
That's the thing that I feel like I've seen take place in a couple of movies is where, like, some kids are getting together to try and fool someone over the phone so they use recordings of somebody's voice.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was only one movie, but I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
But, like, they use, like, little clips of sound from various things to, like, you know, to trick someone into opening the doors of the local zoo or whatever it is.
Well, one of my least favorite, and this happened a lot of in a lot of like hacker style movies in like the 90s, is the way they would record somebody punching in a code, like a door unlock code.
Yes.
And it would be like beep, boop, 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 boop. And they would record it and they would play it back and they'd go, okay, I know what the combination is now.
Yeah.
It's not how it works. They're all the same tone.
No, it's
we've learned a lesson.
Well, we may have learned a lesson since then.
That's true.
You know, like maybe that's, you know, maybe films are the reason, you know, in the same way that a lot of, you know, a lot of murderers watch CSI.
That's true. And then they get away with it.
You know?
Yeah.
And do they?
They get away with it. And so then, you know, these days, real CSI people have to be above CSI level. So they have to have watched all the seasons, including Los Angeles and maybe one that was set in New York.
The one with Lawrence Fishburne.
The one with Lawrence Fishburne. I can't believe that was...
They barely have time to do any murders.
Yeah.
They're so busy keeping up to date on the on all these NCIS,
Naval Criminal Investigative Services.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go,
That is crazy.
Although maybe the murderers wouldn't have to watch that one unless they're going to do a naval crime.
Naval murder. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, I know, but you want to, you know, it's like with other things, I couldn't think of it again. Fuck. It just, like, if you want to put out, like terrestrial CSI people out of their comfort zone, you commit
space.
No, you commit a boat crime on land.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
They won't know what hit them.
You keel haul someone.
Mm-hmm.
But on land.
There's a dead body on the road. It's got two ropes attached to it, and they're like, I don't know what this is.
Oh, boy.
We're miles from the nearest canal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a good
idea. Ironically, I'm out of my depth.
Yeah. There's a dead body on the road, and they're like, I don't understand how this happened. And then it cuts to the top of a skyscraper, and there's just one plank coming off the roof. But they never think to look, do they?
Well, they wouldn't. Why would they?
Why would they? Why would you walk the plank off a roof?
So is that a sketch? It's TNCIS. It's Terrestrial Naval Criminal Investigation Services.
Yep.
And it's all land-based aquatic crime that... And every week they fail to solve it because they just the rule of the sea doesn't apply here.
Mm.
They don't know what they're doing. Like what is the most? I guess walking the plank off a high building is the most extreme version of that. Is is there a version of international waters on land? International dirt, is that a thing?
We could make it a thing. Look, all these shows, it's all detail. It's all just make up the little details.
Yeah.
I saw an episode of a CSI once where they determined who the murderer was because somebody screamed the murderer's name as they were being murdered into like one of those pottery wheels and it imprinted on the pottery.
Wow.
And so they scanned it with a laser and they got that person's voice.
Is that not an episode of X-Files? Are you sure you're not getting confused?
No, that's 100% an episode of CSI.
Fuck.
Yeah. Set in a prison. It's a real episode.
So the imprint of their voice went onto some pottery.
Yep. Then they scanned it with a laser.
They read the pottery.
The
high fidelity pottery.
Pottery.
They played
then they got
it back.
Then they got a sine wave of some sort, like much as we're recording right now. It's not a sine wave, but it's the only word I can think of. And then it went, hey, Dave, don't murder me. And then
they're like,
Dave did it.
It was Dave. I've got to feel like...
surely Dave could then just go, no, it wasn't, you know?
People say weird things when they're getting murdered. They yell out all sorts of people's names.
Do you trust Dave's someone who shouts at pots?
There's actually no more awkward a moment than when you're getting killed by somebody and then you don't know their name and you scream somebody like one of your ex-lover's names.
Exactly. If anything, you know how some people say that the most pleasant word you can hear is your own name. Why not hear it while you're being murdered? Then you'd be like, oh, that's actually quite nice. It's quite nice.
So the murderer's defense is like, no, that's his own name that he's yelling.
And they're like, no, his name was Nick. Oh, it's his nickname for himself.
That's right.
He calls himself Dave, ironically.
So anyway, how else could you kill? What's another naval thing that you could do on land? Doesn't have to be a murder.
Maybe okay, but
scurvy?
What if you died in the bends?
The bends.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, You got caught in a revolving door, and you're in there so long. You got the bends.
You got the bends, you tried to come out of the revolving door too quick.
Yeah, you got the bends.
And you got the bends. Oh, look.
Well, you know, it's when you're so deep into something, right? So maybe you were deep in conversation or something like that, and then the tone just changed real quick,
you
and you got
bends,
a bubble of nitrogen in your brain.
That's right.
Sure. I mean, but there's got to be a person who's really good, and it's purposefully taking people deep into conversation and then pulling them out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he's giving them the bends.
Mm. Well, I feel like Dr. Phil or someone could do that, right? Like, yeah. when he gets you to reveal a lot of stuff, and then he cuts to an ad break. Mm.
These shows often have a lot of celebrity cameos, so this will be perfect if we can get Dr. Phil playing Dr. Phil in there.
And I think often the lead investigator in the show is like, they know all the tricks because they've been in, you know, they've gone too deep in. So I think maybe Captain Pugwash might be the main guy.
Look, that's perfect. Yep. And so, but he's the expert at terrestrial naval crime. Mm-hmm. Like, but he also doesn't, but because they're never solving the crime.
Oh, I see, right. It needs to be an idiot. Okay,
but he's the expert, but he still knows nothing because nobody really knows anything about naval crimes that are performed on land.
That's true.
There haven't been many test cases. All the lore is unproven.
Mm. Yeah, it's, you know, I think he was hit by something going 40 knots.
Well, there's no way to know what that is. You're free to go.
Yeah, look, it's written down as a sketch. Yeah.
And you can never unwrite it, so it's in there.
Should we go back and look at international dirt? Is there anything in international dirt?
Yeah, I think there could be something in international dirt. Like if you... Okay, because international waters, right, if you go deep enough, you get to some land, right? And then say you dig up that land and you take that on shore. Mm-hmm. Does the property of being international waters, does that travel, or even if you just took some water, let's simplify it. You just take like an Olympic pool, swimming pool's worth of water from international waters. You bring it onto the shore, and then you kill someone
in there.
It's
been pH tested, so you can get away with it. You've got a little stick in there. Yeah. You're like, listen, it's international waters. You can tell.
Yeah, from the acidity.
Yeah, that's right.
It's real neutral. Mm. Like, it's super neutral.
So, wait, did you say you take the water and you bring it onto a terrestrial pool?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
and so then you drown somebody in that pool?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think that works. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, that's one way of getting around. It's sort of like the diplomatic immunity of drowning, so that a regular person can kind of get around diplomatic, getting...
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe you could even, like, an easier way to do it would be just to have some boots that are full. Like, you wear gumboots, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they're full of ocean water. So technically, anything you do is in international waters.
Those platform shoes that have water.
Like a goldfish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Or just like one of those donut-shaped kiddie pools. You just have to... If you plan to murder someone, it's just a series of like a guy having to convince somebody in different ways to get into the pool. Like he's just wait. I got to inflate this, and I have this bucket. Now if we could both step into the kiddie pool, now you're dead.
It's oceanic immunity.
Mm. I have oceanic immunity.
I guess you could also just do it for more petty crimes. You could do sort of illegal gambling in the kiddie pool.
That's true.
You know, or you could sort of smoke outside of a hospital.
Yeah.
I'm technically not outside of this hospital. I'm technically 50 kilometers out at sea.
Sir, you can't park that boat here in front of the hospital emergency bay. Well, actually, the pool that I've got it in, my trailer behind the car. Oh, where do you park the car?
So you haven't rewound anyway. This VHS. Well, I think you'll find I've returned it in international waters.
Check out these waiters.
It's like this cop comes in and tries to like put out your cigarette. I'm still outside the hospital. Yeah. He's like, I'm like, you're out of your jurisdiction, pig. Like that. He's like, and he shows him, and the cop has got his feet all wet.
Yeah. So, well, then
the ultimate indignity. Your feet are all wet.
There'd have to be a. But then, like the risk, of course, then is that you're vulnerable to like a maverick cop.
That's
who
true.
Who himself is—he's almost like a pirate, right? Or like a buccaneer who's got—he doesn't. You don't respect the rules. Well, he respects them even less, right? And he sails up alongside, shoots you in the head.
Yeah.
I guess there's that. There's always that weakness to the
creating
plan.
A lawless universe is that someone else will not respect the lack of
it's
law.
It's sort of like a portable Deadwood, but with water, you know?
Yep.
Well, I mean, I guess in a way the Old West was the terrestrial international waters, wasn't it?
I guess you could call it the Wild Wild Wet.
Fuck Alistair.
He's done Thank it again. You. Oh, very nice.
It's
Alistair, you did a pun.
I know.
You did a pun that works.
I've been doing a lot more.
Well, you're getting really good.
Thank you.
And it scares me a little bit.
Well, Andy, there's a new fuckhead in town.
I like the idea, but just before we, if we're going to get off that, I like the idea of a maverick cop. Mm. What he does is he wants to get this guy who's committing all this petty crime.
Mm.
But what he's got is he carries around like a wheelbarrow of like good old fashioned Aussie dirt, and then the idea is he sees the dude in the kiddie pool, and he's constantly attempting to just flip the wheelbarrow of dirt into the pool, and he's like, back in Australia now, mate. Yeah. And you're nicked.
Yeah. And so and he makes it sort of, it becomes Australian mud.
Mm.
And then he just pins him down and cuffs him and stuff like that. That's perfect. It's two renegades against each other.
Yeah, the two forces. One guy running around with a kiddie pool, another one with a wheelbarrow full of dirt. It's Die Hard all over again.
We got each other on a technicality.
And also their husband and wife.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, what a
twist. See,
now I'm interested.
Mr. and Mrs. Bruce Smith.
I like the moment when the guy looks down and he realizes that somehow the dirt's in his thing and he's finally vulnerable.
Feels very Bad Boys. Feels very like 90s action movie. Mm. And he's like, ah. I'm nicked. Again, you were correct.
I've never, has anyone ever seen a chase? Because chase scenes in movies with cars, right?
Yep.
They're always done in really, like, cool cars,
mm-hmm.
which I imagine is somehow connected to somehow kind of product placement thing where,
absolutely.
You can get more cars if you put somebody's cool car in your movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see chase scene played out with just two people in real shit boxes.
Right.
Right, like a 1980s, like, you know, one of those like an old Commodore with one door a different color,
and then there's
someone else in a Honda Matic, you know,
and they've you know, one person's got to get to their car, but they got to get the hero and his love interest have to get in the car, but it's one of those cars where you can't open the driver's side door with the key. You have to go over the passenger side door or in through the boot.
Yeah.
And then you have to like push down the seats and then get in there. Yeah.
And then there's that part where you like try to, you know, it's got central locking or no, it doesn't have central locking, but you're trying to like unlock it while the other person's holding up the handle.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, let go. You got to let go.
Well, they've done that in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Did they?
That was a pretty funny scene.
Wow, this is a real Curb Your Enthusiasm situation for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would have to pay for royalties for that. I don't
think
so. That's
fine. That was a parody.
Great.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Parody of parody. Well, this is kind of similar to an idea that I've had. Look, it's not that similar, but I really want to make a kind of a kung fu movie where... the people, maybe I've already talked about this on the podcast, but where the people are not trained in kung fu and everybody's really weak, you know, and it's like a thin kid who's kind of been beaten, like he got pushed off his bike or something like that while he was on holidays in some island place where, you know, people go, and then maybe it was like an old guy on a mobility scooter. And then this kid's got his cast in his arm, and then he goes and fights his way up this condominium where this old man's family is living, and there's a bunch of toddlers, and then there's a teenager playing a video game, and there's maybe a smell hound for some reason. Anyway, he's got to fight his way
up. What's a smell hound? Yeah, let's stop right here. I was willing to let it go because I thought maybe Andy knew what a smell hound was.
it's like a type of old hunting dog, you know, with a big floppity ears.
Yeah, and a bloodhound. And this man is beating them all up.
He's beating them all up, but very poorly, and it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, and he's ultimately doing more damage to himself.
Hurting himself, and he's already damaged, but his cast is basically his strong point because he's got this thing that he can sort of block and damage with.
I feel like he
also fights somebody who's disabled.
We could definitely, which is very progressive.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We could combine these two ideas a little bit if you'll allow me.
I'm nothing if not allowing.
That we just create an entire shit action movie.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. With chase sequences done in crappy old cars and fight sequences, people like And they're full-on fight sequences, right? With you know, I think we have to establish that, like, he's in some way righteous in beating up all these people. Right. I think maybe the toddlers is going to be a hard sell, but he's somehow righteous in beating up all of these people to get to whatever his goal
is. But they're not like they're not like drug dealers or anything, but they're like people that don't return their library books on time, and they're just cranky old people, and they're just, you know.
In a way, senility is the international waters of the mind.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, and look, and if it's possible, maybe the chase scene with the two cars could happen in an underground car park with the two shitty cars, like at night when there's not many other cars. And so it's kind of happening in quite close quarters, but there's a lot of like poles that you can scrape the side of your car on. And
And rather than big, spectacular crashes, it's just like scrapes down the side, just losing it, really chipping the paint.
And the driver's just like, just thinking about their insurance premiums.
Yeah, they're both rentals from Rent-A-Bomb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I love the idea of this, but also it's a $100 million picture.
Yeah,
like, but it's the most beautiful, because you know, like I can see a terrible fight sequence or a terrible car chase being put in like a student film where there's no money behind it, but just have these beautiful images of just a
totally the cars the cameras sputtering move back and forth. Impossible ways flowing in and around poles,
helicopter
and,
shots,
you know, they follow the car as it flips over or whatever.
They've got a bunch of drone shots from within the quite low ceiling car park. They're like, they're flying, but they're only just above the, like, you know, the thing.
The drone flies through one window of the car and out another window of the car as the car speeds.
And that's tricky because one window is down, but the other window is that weird mesh they put up. If you've had a broken window but you can't afford to fix
it's a garbage plastic bag that's been taped on there with masking tape. It's fluttering.
And let's say, I remembered now the part of the idea with fighting the toddlers. Like, it's that he's being attacked by them, and he's trying to restrain them all without hurting them.
Yeah, right.
And so he's, you know, like, he's not necessarily a bad guy, but he does want to beat up this old man.
Sure.
He's like, who I guess the old man got up to the top of the condominium thing using one of those things on the side of the stairs there, whatever those things are called, those lifts.
Yeah. Yep.
Those old man lifts. And so he's working his way up. So it is kind of like The Raid.
Yep.
So I'm picturing it like The Raid, but with weak people.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And toddlers getting beaten up. And like, I think it'll be a similar situation with the disabled person, is that he wants to fight them. He doesn't necessarily want to fight them, but they're like, you're that kid. You're that kid. I'm going to get you, like that. And then he's like trying to like stop them from hurting themselves, but also from hurting him.
Which is very good of him.
He's a good guy. And then he can get to the hard work of beating up an old man.
Mm. I think that's great,
and it's all because the old man ruined his summer vacation. Like, this is a,
I feel this is drawn from real life. Did an old man ruin your summer vacation?
God, fucking old man.
Were you wearing sandals on like a beach, and an old man ran over your foot with a rascal?
Yeah, spent a lot of time on Venice Beach.
Al does have a toddler who, you know, keeps him awake at night. So,
oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Drawn from real events.
Find ways to restrain him.
Karate chops. Karate chops. Or you.
Is this a sketch idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a shame that it's a full movie. But I don't see there's any reason why a full movie can't be a sketch.
That's very true.
Yeah, and often a critique of bad movies is that it was more just a sketch that was drawn out to an hour and a half.
And if you imagine the reviews come in, and then you, as the filmmaker, you just go, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That was the point. It's a sketch I dragged out too long. I know what I was doing.
Yes.
The movie was called A Drawn Out Sketch.
Yeah.
About
thanks
a
for
week
getting
guy.
It.
Version of The Raid. I've been trying in my mind to come up with a pun for The Raid, but it's really difficult because...
Here comes the pun.
Because there's not enough... words to really work.
That's
with.
True. Yeah,
mobility raid is the best thing that I've come up with. Like, mobility
like the
aid.
Mobility aid. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, everyone.
It's okay.
Al's the pun guide now.
Yeah. Right,
Andy. You go back to coming up with concepts and making jokes that actually make people laugh.
Alistair, I don't think you know how to insult people.
Yeah.
You've lost your touch.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm still
hey,
insulting.
After this, why don't you go back to your loving family, just, you idiot?
I know, I'm trying to be even more disrespectful by not only being the good one at puns, but I don't even respect puns.
Yeah.
So I think the whole form is beneath me.
Mm. Well, by explaining it, you've undermined yourself, Alistair. You should have just let it stand.
That was my plan all along. No! Just an extended sketch.
Ah, oh, he's good. Yeah. This guy's good.
Alistair?
Yes?
Would you like a smoother way to shave?
Absolutely. I would love to do something nice for my cheeks.
Would you like a pinch to the cheeks?
You know, if I can't shave with a beautiful five-blade razor, then I would enjoy maybe an aunt or just a foreign lady to come and pinch my cheeks. Luckily...
Yes?
You can get a five-blade razor by going to harrys.com/thinktank. Get yourself a starter pack. Starter pack worth $13, right?
Yeah.
But you only have to cover shipping. So you get that for free, basically.
You're kidding me.
Right? No, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid you in the middle of an ad spot, Alistair?
And this is the only time
in my entire life when I'm sincere.
This is the first purchase, though, right?
Yeah, this is your first purchase.
In the future ones, you have to pay the $13?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
probably.
Great.
but your first one, you just cover the
You're
shipping.
You're missing the point, Alistair.
Absolutely.
You get a taste of the good stuff, right? You're going to think it's absolutely worth the $13
as
well.
And if Harry's were drug dealers, they would jack up the price after they're giving you that first taste.
Which in a way they do, but only to $13.
Well, that's not that high.
No, that's not that high. In fact, it's half what you would pay for the leading five-blade razors.
That's like the price of like sort of 3.5 coffees.
What a great way to think about it, Alistair.
Because that's about how many days, about 3.5 days, is how frequently I need to shave.
Right.
You know? And so...
So you can be having coffees all those other days. Is that how the math works?
Well, I can buy a box of razors.
Yes.
Every 3.5 days, and that's if I was just throwing away the razors every time. But I'm not.
But this You're way, using them. You got the movement. You got the Harry's razor, and you can throw boiling hot coffee in your face, just on your cheeks.
Do
on
some
those 3 days
smooth,
a week,
freshly shaven cheeks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, get that.
A smoother way to shave. That's my new phrase for them because it's a smooth process to order online.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't have
and
to leave
also
the
smooth
house.
Shave.
There's a kebab shop near where I work, and it's one of those kebab shops that's like in a shipping container.
Yeah,
and their slogan is, "You've tried the rest, now try the best." And I'm like, that's really gone back to like first principles as far as the slogan goes. Right?
Yeah,
they went. Should we do a pun? Should we talk about the culture of? Where kebabs? No, let's just say you've tried the rest.
You've tried literally every other kebab in the world, but without trying the best one. You were working up to it.
Statistically speaking, how did this happen?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
What are the chances? That is really you're a really unlucky person to have eaten every other kebab and not by chance had the one kebab that is the best kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, look, I think there's almost just like a headline joke in that. Maybe there's a full sketch. Like, but the idea that somebody was so
Wait,
unlucky...
are we out of the ad? We're out of the ad.
We're out of the ad.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, oh, look. To be honest, we were never really in the ad.
Oh.
Yeah, Harry, we were just... harrys.com/thinktank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm never really out of the ad.
Yeah, that's you're never out
that's,
of the ad?
That's why we work well together. We're like yin and yang. You guys are never really in the ad, and I'm never out of an ad.
Look, so. Yeah. In a way, you always got to be closing, but at the same time, you always got to be opening.
That's very
true,
yeah.
At the same time, you know?
Do you think that, like, with this idea of the best kebab in the world, you've eaten every other kebab, and there's still the best kebab in the world, would you eat that kebab? Because it feels like once you've had that, you're obviously a kebab completist,
right?
To have eaten all these other kebabs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it would be like Alexander...
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
the Great who wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. Like, do you think that that final kebab, would you just not touch it so that you can always imagine how good it is? Or would you eat that kebab
I think about
and
this
then
sort
your
of,
life be empty?
I think about this sort of thing a lot. Whenever there's a limited edition food product at like a KFC, I'm like, what if I buy it and I really like it and then I can then they discontinue it. What do I do? What do I do with my life after this? You know what I mean?
Just spend the rest of your life longing for the double
down.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or what if I buy like a KFC product?
Yeah.
And then I go and buy a Coke, which they don't sell at KFC, and then I combine them, and that's the perfect combination in my life.
Yeah.
And then I have to do that for the rest of my life. I have to go to two locations every time I eat.
Well, I mean, that doesn't feel as bad as the first one, the one where you just have to go to two locations to get the ingredients for a thing, which is a lot of shopping. You know?
Yeah, I still don't care for it.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I mean,
all my shopping in the one place every time.
I guess it kind of just, it takes it to the level of like having to prepare a meal at home, where occasionally, you know, you have to get a few ingredients from different shops. And so now you're getting takeaway, but with sort of cook at home rules.
Yeah.
Mm. And see, and that's not fair on
you. Defeats the point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You did not get into this business to have to try.
No, absolutely not.
No, you're eating KFC because
right. Yeah.
You're a lazy are you a lazy fuck?
Yeah, absolutely am. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah,
absolutely.
I just wasn't sure whether yeah.
No. No, look, honestly, you could have said lazy in literally any word and that would be
that's
true of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Lazy gremlin, lazy
I'm a real
Kremlin.
Lazy gremlin, yeah. I'm a lazy Kremlin.
Oh, man. Look, I don't know where we were going.
I wasn't born in the first world to have to go to two locations in order to...
Ugh.
When I decided to be born in the first
world... That's the Kremlin. Yeah. Talking about communist Russia.
Yeah.
You know?
That is. Yeah. That is the Kremlin.
Yeah. That is, yes.
I had an idea. Look, I don't know if there's anything in this idea, but to add to your idea of what about, you know, the guy, he's making that decision... whether or not to eat the final kebab, and it is the best, and then he'll have nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Other than everything else in his life, but he'll have nothing, right?
Yeah.
Unless, I guess, he got into this thing. I guess if we want to really build up the tension, he got into this whole eating every kebab thing because he was going to kill himself.
Yeah,
and then,
wow.
And somehow this was the thing that gave him purpose.
Right.
Well, he, along the way, and he told himself that, after he'd eaten every kebab, he would then kill himself. But along the way, he regained his love of life because of the great interactions that he had with people while eating kebabs.
Yeah.
And then he decides that he can still keep his promise, maybe to Satan or like some sort of witch who cursed him, right? But then if he doesn't eat that last kebab.
Yeah.
Right? Oh.
Yeah, but...
But then he eats
but
it
then
anyway.
there's ways around...
Loves that garlic sauce. Yum, 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 yum.
Okay, so because first of all, there's the fact that you forget a lot of things, right?
Sure,
yes.
Like, he'll probably will have forgotten what kebab one tasted like.
Right.
He's worked his way through probably 1 to 1.2 million kebabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how much better than all the other kebabs is this kebab? Because if it's only like a point... 002 better,
yeah.
Then it's going to be really hard to distinguish, and a lot about his mood will define how he enjoys that experience.
Yeah. And also, I would question what his state of mind is when he's eating the kebab. Because 99% of kebabs are consumed.
Yeah,
at 3 in the morning.
So good.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would also question how recently he brushed his teeth, because I think that can really affect your enjoyment of a food.
That feeds into really when you're eating you're eating your own mouth. Taste a lot as well.
That is a big part of eating.
Yeah.
And the best restaurants also cook the inside of your own mouth first.
Mm. They clean that out. They soak that in a nice marinade.
And you know how many restaurants do that? None, because there's no restaurants that really care about the human experience. They only care about the food.
Well, the real Michelin star, I believe, is got from...
It's from
cooking the mind.
Is for or is yes. For the bacteria... That lives in your mouth that you taste.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So the real Michelin star was in our mouth all along. Wow.
I would like to just taste a Michelin star.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I imagine marzipan-y.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess it would kind of like, it would be kind of crunchy, but sort of like Yeah, that crunch, like with those beads on cake, that you're not sure whether or not
you should be eating. A drage, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How will I know if this is just a ball bearing?
Yeah, am I about to break my tooth on this?
Well, there's only one way to find out.
To push through until something crunches.
That's a crazy thing to put on cake. Cake, you know, it should just be a comfort food. Right, a thing that everybody can enjoy in a relaxed fashion. Let's just put some little balls on there, just little seeds of doubt. That's what they're called.
There's got to be a sketch.
Shiny seeds of
and
doubt.
And that idea, it's a new segment for Fear Factor.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's what's it called?
A drage.
A drage or ball bearing.
What's a drage?
The little silver sweetie thingies?
You know the word for what that
drage,
thing is?
Drage, yes. Drage.
How
and
do
there's
you...
There's an accent over one
that?
I don't know.
Wait. Maybe I've seen that word. I've always thought it was a draggy.
It's probably a drag, yeah.
Uh-huh. No, but...
But why would it have an accent and be E?
Yeah, draggy sounds
a
like
draggy.
It's something that's being dragged behind a... Someone's being...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
dragged
behind a
cart.
Dragged behind a dragger.
Yeah.
There's the dragger and the draggy,
classic.
Isn't there? Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Or behind a giant moving cake decoration.
Intriguing.
Fear Factor, but for cakes.
Wait, okay. So this is the challenge that you give to people, right?
Uh-huh.
So you give them, and maybe it doesn't have to be Fear Factor.
Yeah.
But it's like Who Dares Wins. Remember that TV
show?
Yeah.
Sure.
You go to random people on the street, right? But it's a new TV show. It's called a draggy, or
ball bearing.
Or ball bearing, right? And so you say, hey, do you think you could be able to tell whether or not this is a ball bearing or an adragi,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if you get it right,
just dragi, yeah.
Dragi,
yes,
dragi.
Now I've said it so many times, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
It doesn't
anymore.
Matter.
Okay,
right.
You came into this segment as the expert, and
now I'm the fool.
No, you're just like that terra null, not terra nullius, but that terrestrial naval expert who doesn't know that much about it. But in terms of adragi. We're dredging.
Let's just move on. Let's never say it again.
Okay,
let's never say it again.
Okay, so you come up to people, and this is our new YouTube sketch show, prank show, and you say, okay, I'll give you $10 million if you can guess it right, but if you guess it wrong, I get all of your assets.
Okay, Alistair, well, this is turning out to be like... Just a guessing game, really. Like because I thought that the element of like hurting your teeth on the thing was the forfeit, but like in the context of losing everything, losing a tooth doesn't seem like that big a deal. And in that case, why not just toss a coin
know,
or something
but
like
losing
that?
Losing everything plus making it difficult to eat. Or
no,
making
that,
it hurt
that
a bit
would be
when
the final indignity.
Losing
yeah.
everything,
yeah.
and now you got to go to a dentist. Yeah. What are you going to pay the dentist with? You got
I had
nothing.
$10 million yesterday, and now I've got nothing.
Yeah, you would so
you already had $10 million?
Yeah, he's only approaching $1 million.
your assets were $10
million. Exactly $10
million. You could have got another $10
million.
And you're a sucker
well,
for $10
million. That's how they snare a sucker. You snare like a rich whale who thinks they're getting one over on you.
We only ask CEOs. We've just received a pay packet.
Ironically, if you are a sucker and you just suck on the draggy instead of biting on it,
you'll know exactly.
You'll be fine.
Mm. I see. I think that they don't release so much of a flavor when you suck on them. I think that's where the risk comes in. You just kind of for a long time. It's just layers of paint, I think.
Yeah, and then you just like you probably even if you were like I'll just keep sucking on it for ages. You always sort of get a bit sick of it, and then you bite it anyway.
That's very true.
You know,
yeah.
I
get it's a ball
just...
bearing. Yeah.
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 yeah,
You could sugarcoat the ball bearings.
Absolutely, and. Yeah. You could sort of game
That's
it
my
a
wrestling
bit.
Name, the sugar-coated ball bearing.
He's sweet on the outside,
yeah.
but boy, he's got a
very
he's got
dense.
A heart of steel.
Yeah.
yeah, look, I don't know if this is a great sketch.
Well, I think there is definitely a sketch in a Who Dares Wins type thing, right? But broadened to sort of wider sources of anxiety or like you know other kinds of fear and that sort of thing. It was always someone like jumping off a thing like off a diving board or something like that. But like what are the real anxieties?
Yeah.
Following your dreams?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Cuz I think I've seen a Who Dares Wins which was like can you eat 3 jars of mayonnaise?
Yeah.
And then
you're
but
like
then,
yes,
but
or
instead
I give it
of
a
that
can you be honest with your parents?
Yeah. Can you tell your parents about your history of drug use.
can you answer an unknown number on your phone? Do you have an outstanding debt? Maybe you do. You don't know.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
$10 million.
$10 million. Will you answer the phone?
Will you go on a 2-week driving holiday through the south of France with your high school principal?
Yeah.
Will who dares win?
Or just like, just hang out with a bunch of people. Yeah, who you don't know.
No, full stop. Yes. There we go.
A bunch of people.
To be honest, though, like catching up with your friends that you. Exclusively the friends that you no longer talk to from high school.
Oh, that'd be the worst.
Like, yeah. That's.
You have to hang out with all the people you blocked on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think this could. This
but how much money? Are we talking $20 here? Like, that's kind of closer to Who Dares Wins. They had, like, with $300.
Yeah, but I think Who Dares Wins, they did little ones, but then they also did big. I think they would do, like, you would investigate the participant, and then you'd get them right on the edge of that indifference curve. You'd be like, okay, you know, this one, this person's, you block this person because they're a racist, and you block this person because they're, you know,
yeah,
they're always talking about their boat or whatever. And then you find the exact figure that they'd be in for, and they'd be like, $10,000?
All right.
Because then it's a real dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah.
You make it interesting.
Yeah.
And, I just feel like we could get into like even more psychologically taxing dares. I just can't think of any right now. What about that one with the trolley problem?
Oh, sure, yeah, okay.
Right. So there's a train coming down, there's two tracks, right? One's got like one child on it, another's got four adults.
Yeah, right.
Which thing do you send it down?
Yeah.
It's like that, but Who Dares Wins.
Exactly. And you have to wait a maxi bond the whole time.
You could win $20.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not sure if there's a right answer, though, to that one. So,
but one like some interesting ones, I guess if you were televising.
I like the idea that you can't opt out, though.
Yeah.
You're given the choice, and they're like, for $50, which leave? And you're like, I don't want to do this at all.
Well, like, there's $50 riding on it, so you better. No, there's human lives at stake. And that $50. Wouldn't you like that? Think
wouldn't
what you
like
could do with $50.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the idea? Like, I guess, look.
Pineapples are what we call $50 in Australia.
That's right. What a pineapple costs in Australia.
Because of Cyclone Yasi.
Mm. Yeah. What if we're, it's just a TV show also where we're just, I mean, look, this is basically the same idea, but where we're televising that trolley sketch, that trolley dilemma. But then you're getting people with very specific interests. So you're getting a guy who's super into comic books.
Yep.
Right? And then on the one track, there's 10 babies, right? And on the other track, there's like...
Action Comics number one, first appearance of Superman.
I was going to say like Alan Moore.
Oh, right. Yeah. Comics creator Alan Moore.
Yeah,
sure,
comics creator Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And then they have to decide whether they're going to save Alan Moore or 10 children with... You know, all of them
infinite
could become...
Infinite potential.
Infinite potential.
They could be 10 Alan Moores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think we'd really learn a lot about value.
And if they make the right decision, they get $20.
Nice.
Who decides what the right decision is? The viewers?
We take it to the High Court.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we go to the highest court in Australia, and we let the judges, you know, with their kind of infinite wisdom. Well, not infinite. With their finite wisdom.
Yeah, very limited wisdom.
Their mere human understanding of...
Yeah, you know. Also, Mike Whitney is also on the.
Yeah, Mike Whitney.
He's on the High Court. A chair for some reason on the High Court,
and he gets mostly just the smugs. He's got a killer smile. If you don't know who Mike Whitney is, Google Mike Whitney and just check out that winning smile, and then put it as your sort of your banner photo on top of your Twitter.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
do it.
So look, I've written it down. I've just got Who Dares Wins, but for psychologically taxing dares.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
That's a sketch idea.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. To me, anything that I guess is going to come back to do some kind of family thing, which is the source of all my love and fear.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes. Now, are there situations in which you would willingly sort of sell a family member?
Oh, like gee whiz. Like, I mean, obviously...
desperation? Like, do you
think desperation. I was going to go with desperation.
But like, how desperate would you have to be?
Oh, pretty desperate.
Yeah, I would say very desperate.
Yeah.
Would you say like, okay...
I mean, the social stigma alone upon selling a family member,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say... Right now, you wouldn't sell a family member to buy a car.
Well, hang on, I didn't say that.
Okay. So that's not that desperate a situation.
Well,
right?
I mean, one of our cars is currently broken down. So, I might need another car.
Yeah. That's true. But what if there was nobody else around to judge you?
So that's interesting.
There's just one of your siblings.
Uh-huh.
And there's the buyer.
Yep.
So this is a sort of almost an end of the world scenario. Else is dead. It's just me, a sibling, and a guy who wants my sibling.
Yeah.
Wants your sibling and has a car.
Yeah. Do I get to find fat goose? Is that what are we trading for?
Like you just get to get out of here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will blow this town.
So we're in some sort of post-apocalyptic situation, but there's a nice town.
there's a nice town down the road. It's very much localized to a non-walking distance. It's like to within a walk. All walk any distance that you can walk. That's where it's
that plus a bit.
I like the idea of a very localized, post-apocalyptic, town.
Already that's a better idea.
Yeah, you're right. That is much better. So we're talking like a post-apocalyptic suburb or something
like a Mad Max kind of situation.
But for some reason,
it's just very localized.
It's just a couple of streets in West Coburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also that it's like a booming metropolis.
Okay.
Is there a way that it could be both post-apocalyptic and successful?
Yeah, well, Thunderdome. It'd have a Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah, the Thunderdome. Yeah.
It's a nice place to visit and go to the Thunderdome, but you wouldn't want to live there, obviously. We've got to go to West Coburg and probably fight off raiders in, hotted up utes with spikes on the front.
Two men enter, but do we have to enter? Yeah, I'm kind of busy and I can't be bothered leaving the house,
to be honest. Why don't they live stream it? I don't understand why they don't live stream the Thunderdome.
I guess it's because there's so much post-apocalyptic area around the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a nice place for everybody to come to. It's like there's a bit more sort of like the bar in Cheers. Yeah, everybody knows your name at the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
By the way, when you said it's a nice place to visit, but nobody wants to live. That's exactly how Ernie feels about the moon. Anyway, I've been singing a lot of kids' songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'd like to visit the moon, but I don't think I'd like to live there. That's a parody as well, so we don't have to pay royalties.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm.
I'm so sorry. But I think this localized post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah.
Like I think we could, if we wanted to, we could go even more specific. It could just be the corner of somebody's living room.
Post-apocalyptic or something.
Yep. There's a couple of guys in there. One of them's wearing a man's skin.
Yeah,
one's
got a chainsaw hand.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because I think, people think of the post-apocalyptic, they think it covers the world.
Mm.
But I think it's got to start somewhere.
That's very true,
right?
Yeah.
And it's got to spread, and it's got to, it's got to sustain and spread. So there's a lot of sort of post-apocalyptic
or shrink
spots. Or shrink.
Yeah.
Possibly shrink. Yeah. So at first it was...
Because things get gentrified, right? So you've got you've got your post-apocalyptic wasteland, but of course, you're going to get when things become a post-apocalyptic wasteland, prices go down.
Yeah.
There's students start moving in. The artists.
It becomes a cool area.
Yeah.
I think last time I was on, we did real estate with some sort of weird dimensional portal in the bedroom.
That's right.
So maybe we expand out again and we can be like, okay, gentrified post-apocalyptic suburb. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. And the people who wear human skin.
Yep.
Right, as a mask.
Yeah.
They can no longer afford to live there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then there's all these investors talking about how actually I've been looking, they have been studying, a lot of the sort of people who are buying a lot of the burning tires and so a lot of these sort of loose, sort of leather jacket and sort of goat skins and things like that. And then I go there and I buy real estate there because that's going to be a sort of a boom.
Yeah.
I like the idea that. Like a retiree couple move next door to the Thunderdome,
yeah.
And then they make noise complaints.
The Thunderdome gets turned into apartments.
Yeah, oh, no.
Yeah, that used to be that was the meeting place.
Yeah,
that was part of the entertainment venue, and now they got lockout laws.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's killing the Thunderdome nightlife.
Yeah. I mean, we used to be able to get like a latte in a broken jar.
Yeah.
But now it's in a glass. It's really
well. Now they've at least filed off the sharp edges. That's right, the broken jar.
Yeah. We used to sit on oil drums. Now we sit on chairs.
Thunderdome is now Thunderdome Towers apartment complex.
No, Thunderdome Heights.
Ugh. Yeah.
And there's a doorman. Yeah. But he sort of wears like a. It's a very gentrified like version of the thing. So he is where he's got a lot of skulls on it, but they're kind of very nice, like silver buttons. On his jacket.
It's cultural appropriation, really.
Yeah. And he still has that kind of like looks like a you know like a sort of limo driver's cap.
It's got dreadlocks coming out the back.
But it has like dreadlocks and like sort of little like you know like old cow horns and things like.
Yeah,
little,
he's wearing them ironically.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a place where you can sort of get sort of. Gourmet post-apocalyptic sort of, you know, like fried
human flesh.
Fried human flesh, absolutely. Like, you know, sort of like a nice, a
which
nice
used
sort
to be
of...
free because you could just tear it off your enemies. But now it's like $24 a portion. Yeah. It's really
absolutely, and, and they do like a sort of a beautiful sand waffle. You know, where you know, I guess when you're really desperate, you would sort of just
eat sand.
You know,
that's true. But now people are like, oh, you gotta let's go in and try the sand.
Try the sand waffle.
They've got a really good sand here because you know you're like, oh, it's it. Technically, you can sustain on the sort of microorganisms alone and things like that. You don't have to wait for it to grow into plants. And you know, I think it was kind of better actually when the soil sort of. Couldn't sustain life.
That drives up the price of the sand, right? And then the local, the few who are still there can't afford to eat it anymore.
And live in the dirt quarry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're being forced to sell all their sand to cafes.
By the way, whoever said the old folks move in next to the Thunderdome and make a noise complaint, that was very good.
That was very good, Nick Mason.
Yeah. I did it. I said a thing.
The Thunderdome. Who would have thought the Thunderdome would be so noisy?
That's right. Well, the real estate agents bring him in when there's no Thunderdome, when ginormous is driving Mad Max or whatever, and then they think it's quiet. They're like, oh no, it's a library.
That's the shush sphere.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the shush hemisphere.
Yeah.
It just looks like there's very quirky architecture in the area, you know.
But a lovely neighborhood, really.
Yeah, and it's quite nice, you know. And it's just got character.
Hey. I think we did it.
We've made it to 5 sketch ideas.
There we
everybody.
Go. Wow.
Shall I run us down
Please.
Through the sketches?
Through the aisle of sketches.
Well, we've got TNCSI, which is Terrestrial Naval Crime Scene Investigators, and it's where there's sort of there's been sort of naval crimes that have been committed on land, and they send in an expert, and nobody's really an expert, but this is the guy who knows the most about it, and he doesn't know that much, and there's a. And what is the main story of this sort of sketch is that there's also, apart from people walking a plank and dying of the bends from escaping through sort of...
Revolving doors
too quickly. There's a main story, which is this guy who's been taking ocean water and putting it in a kiddie pool and then committing crimes technically in international waters. Mm-hmm. And then there's this, and he's been really making a mockery of this cop who then eventually, he himself is a renegade, he gets a wheelbarrow full of Australian land and tips it in there and then he busts his ass.
Alistair, you really gave a lot of detail on that sketch and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Sometimes I think if I ever forget some of these sketch ideas and I just want to get them back, I'll just listen to the
ends.
To this, to the ends.
Yeah, we should release the end as the podcast.
We could release the end as a preview, but then fuck that.
Yeah.
Listen to the whole thing. It's the journey.
There's a lot of hemming and whoring in the middle. It's great.
And people love the hemming and the whoring. Hemingway and
especially
whoring.
Especially the whoring, though. then, oh, wait. Oh, no, that was the second sketch, International Waters. I apologize.
That's fine.
Second sketch was International Waters. First one was just...
There's many CSIs, so
absolutely.
There's room for two maritime...
Yeah.
CSI International Waters is just in general is a funny thing where they show up to the crime scene and there's never anything they can do.
That's right, yeah.
Looks like they'll get away with it again. I don't know why we bother.
then there is The Raid, but for weak and poor people.
Yep.
Right, that involves shitty cars, shitty car chases, but the car chases are good, but they're in shitty cars.
Yeah,
but they're in bad locations, but they're still good.
Oh yeah, they're beautiful.
And it's weak people fighting other weak people and things like that. But it's kind of like so it's like The Raid, but anyway.
I feel if anything, that's a more visceral fight. Like a man charging in and like knocking somebody's head off with a hammer. That's all well and good and fun.
Absolutely.
It's fun for the whole family. But just two guys who don't really know what they're doing, who are in a battle to the death, that is unpleasant. I think that's the new incredibly, you know, powerful, skilled action fight. It's just two idiots who don't know what they're doing.
Just dial it back. I think if the only reference point that I've got for this is in that noted action film Bridget Jones's Diary.
Oh yes,
where Hugh Grant and Colin Firth fight in the street, and they're really not very good at it.
Yeah, but we really take it. We really kick it up a notch.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because it's sort of like the Chinese water torture of fights, where nobody is really capable of killing the other, but no one, you know, both are too stubborn to stop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The Chinese water torture of being punched in the face.
Yeah. They should just sort of slap assing around. Anyway. Then we got the Who Dares Wins, but for psychologically taxing dares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have post-apocalyptic suburb gets gentrified. So I think that's fun.
That's good stuff.
And so...
mouth noises.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We could do it without you, but it would be much less rewarding.
You know what? We have done it without you at different points. And
that's true.
Thank you very much for...
If you're interested, we'll send you out the download statistics for, let's say, episode maybe 15 through 40.
Yeah, for the first first 3 years, basically. Yeah. It's But
enough about that.
And enough about doing things without you. Thank you for listening. And
you can check out Nick Mason's podcast.
Oh, it's called The Weekly Planet. We talk about superhero movies and stuff.
It's very good.
Sometimes we talk about horror movies.
I was listening to it this morning. Ooh. And then I was also on it this afternoon.
You sure were. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we talked about, you guys will be on. We'll be talking about the movie It. And we saw it this morning. We had a real good time.
Yeah, check it out. It's on the Planet Broadcasting Network. Mm. Probably my favorite podcast on the Planet Broadcasting Network. But but there's also others. You know, Dragon Friends and Do Go On and
Serious Issues
Serious Issues and Steel Wars
and Human Ordinary and Tofop
and the Little Dum Dum Club.
They're on now.
Welcome to the group.
Yeah, we put them in the naughty corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
See what they do.
Check them out.
And check out Friendship Mates.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just our friend Jack Truce and Beck Petratus. Check out their podcast, Friendship Mates.
Been listening to a lot of that recently. Nick Mason, are you on the socials?
I'm on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown if you want to pop over and say hi.
Well, you know what? I'm on Twitter at AlistairTB.
Oh. And I'm on Twitter at StupidOldAndy, and we are at 2inTank.
And we have recently launched a Patreon for some reason.
Very good.
And we're looking to pay George, who edits this podcast.
Yeah.
And that's our first goal. We haven't put the goal into the thing. But
well, we don't want to put anything in writing in case we change our mind.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to put too much pressure on us or you
or George.
You know, I don't want to put pressure on him that he might get paid.
There's no pressure on anybody. No expectation.
The anticipation of getting paid might drive him mad, and then he won't edit the podcast.
Yeah, because we haven't told him about this either.
No, of course not.
He might just he might send him a message like, "Hey George, we're going to pay you for this," and he'd be like, "I don't," and just throw his laptop in the ocean.
Yeah,
exactly. So if you want to support the podcast, you can throw some change at us.
We would really dig it, and you could review the podcast as well. That would be lovely.
Yeah, and
we really like the reviews.
Yeah, and we also really
love you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on, Nick Mason.
Pleasure.
You're the best.
You are.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.